So let's start in Isaiah chapter 52 with verse 6. So I'll just give everyone a minute to find that in their Bible. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 6. And while we're looking, just kind of a refresher on the focus and spirit of this particular class that we're, you know, in. We've been soaking in for a couple months, I guess, now. Spirit realm, sense realm, from a bride heart. And that's similar to the study we've done over the years that was first introduced to us in the Bible school, I think something like 1992, by Pastor Randy, for the students, just in regards to the spirit realm versus sense realm, and how that was such a huge help for so many, and myself included. We're looking at that basic material that the Lord gave at that time, but from the angle of a bride heart, and it kind of gathers us deeper into the basically the heart behind just learning those principles and those realities, and but really trying to walk them and embrace them and be with the Lord in them from our hearts for His sake. And that opens us up maybe to a little different view and also receptivity to the things of His heart that would be affected by the spirit realm versus the sense realm. And so I know our last vlog from last week had to do with coming to the Lord in the darkness also, but it focused a lot on that thief on the cross and his response to Jesus in the midst of his own darkness, his own utter failure and unrighteousness and all that would be involved in that priest, that thief. I said priest, but really that thief. And then his ability to behold the Lamb of God there on that tree beside him, who in all outward appearances looked like the most vile, rejected criminal. There was no sense realm clues to clue in that thief, that this was literally the Son of God, the Prince of Life, being crucified on a tree next to him. There was not anything in the outward appearance to cause this man to respond the way that he did to Jesus. And even to the point of this thief calling him Lord, if you read those verses in Matthew that are sharing the account of the thief on the cross, you'll note that he uses the word Lord when he addresses Jesus. It's a tremendous thing that the heart of this man was able to break free from the sense realm view of his situation, but more importantly of the man next to him, and to break free from it in such a great depth that he literally not just perceived that this crucified criminal beside him was the Son of God, but he was the Lord of all. And that he was the only important thing. The only thing that mattered. And to be with him was higher than his own condition, was higher than his own problems, was higher than the fact that he was fixing to breathe his last breath on this planet, and therefore all the pressure of considering himself and his needs. Talk about a prayer request. You know, how many people would at that very moment with the Son of God beside them and them in the biggest crisis of their life in the very last seconds of that crisis not turn, knowing it's the Son of God somehow beside you on the tree, and ask him, you know, for something. But there was something in his heart and his response that just drew into Jesus and care for him. And ultimately dividing the sense realm from the spirit realm isn't meant to just make us more aware of that the natural man knoweth not the things of God. You know, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it's not just so that we can doctrinally and spiritually comprehend that the natural man cannot understand God or the things of God by his five natural senses. That's information that can be helpful in spiritual discernment. But at the end of the day, just discerning what's the spirit realm and what's the sense realm doesn't necessarily give Jesus a bride after his heart, or one after his kind, or the fulfillment of everything that was in his heart before the world began for us to be with him in this kind of oneness of nature, partaking of the divine nature, you know. And so we're just going to, I believe, maybe not a deep teaching in that sense of lots of information, but a heart meditation, that to perceive Jesus for who he is in the middle of the sense realm that we all go through every day, and to come to him in the middle of that mystery, in the middle of those veils and those things that should just cause us to miss him, to misinterpret him, to look past him, to not recognize him, and therefore not honor him, not behold him, not bow before him, not tend to his needs, not honor him. You know, that's our heart desire, that we would understand the difference between the spirit realm and the sense realm, that we wouldn't miss Jesus, that we would see Jesus, that we would respond to Jesus, that we would be in tune with Jesus, that we would behold the Lamb of God. And so in that spirit, and kind of in that heart view and meditation, let's begin reading in chapter 52 of Isaiah, verse 6. These scriptures are really all kind of surrounding his time of being crucified, of being laid bare upon the tree, of bearing our iniquities and our guilt and our shame as a slaughtered lamb. I mean, this is part of where Isaiah began to prophesy of this crucified Christ. And in verse 6 it says, "Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he who doth speak. Behold, it is I." So here we find that just before Isaiah 53 begins to really lay it out, and Isaiah is going to do it also in the rest of this chapter in 52, but he's beginning to say, listen, my people are going to know not just Jesus Christ, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the healer, the teacher, the prophet, or whatever they want to call him, the Son of God even. They're going to know, really know who I am in my being, in my true deepest core, who I am. They're going to know my name. They're going to know who's speaking. Behold, it is I. Behold, it is I. And I believe that word behold is always, it's like a word that's kind of saying, listen, behold the Lamb of God. Behold, he's a lamb. Behold who he really is. See him in his eternal nature. It is I. It is I. This little slaughtered lamb, behold, it's I. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. The watchmen shall lift up the voices, with the voice together shall they sing. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Now, part of these scriptures here in the context of Isaiah are dealing with the people who have gone in, the people of God who have gone into captivity. And so you can kind of see that here. They shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. And I just personally, you know, my thoughts, personal thoughts are just that there's this breaking forth, there's this lifting up of the voice, there's this almost like a song, a glorious declaration, a publishing of it, a bearing of it, that it's like they have beheld that the Lamb of God, it's the Lamb of God who turned our captivity. It's the Lamb of God who brought us up out of Egypt, who brought us up out of Babylon, who brought us up out of Assyria. It's the Lamb of God. And they're so full of finding Him in a manner that turned their captivity and brought Him forth, that they're seeing eye to eye. You know, they're seeing who He really is. Face to face, there's no veils. There's a real knowing of Him. They found Him in that place, and they're breaking forth, and they're comforting the people. And so, verse 10: the Lord has made bare His holy arm. Okay, you can say I'm just reading the Lamb into verse 8 and 7 and 8. You know, I'm just reading in that their declaration is the Lamb of God, that they're publishing Christ crucified, that the watchmen are lifting up their voice about a crucified Christ, and they're preaching the cross. You know, you could just say, Kelly, you're reading that in because that's your emphasis. That's the emphasis you've been taught. That's not really what the scriptures are saying, but I beg to differ just on the basis of the verse that follows, verse 10. The Lord hath made bare His holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. So, you know, the next breath in context with those verses is, look, the Lord opened up who it is that we are dealing with, who it is that we were supposed to know but never really understood. Who is the God that we have been called by His name but never known His name? Who is the one that's always been saving us and dealing with us, but we've never really seen eye to eye? Behold, the Lord's made Him bare in the eyes of all the nations on the cross. And it goes down again, and let's just go to verse 13. Behold, you can hear it again. I want you to see who I really am. I want you to see out of the sense realm into the spirit realm of who I really am. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Again, you can just say you're reading the Lamb into those verses. You're just talking it, making it say that it's about a crucified Christ. But the next verse says, as many were astounded at thee, His visage was so marred more than any man, and His form more than the sons of men. Behold, my servant, the Lord hath made bare His holy arm in the eyes of all nations, but we shall see eye to eye, and they shall know my name. Behold, it is I. Do you hear the wording of these verses? Behold, it is I. My people shall know me. Eye to eye we shall see. The Lord's made bare in the eyes. Behold, my servant, as many as were astounded at thee, His visage was so marred. Verse 53 continues, who shall believe our report? And with even more clarity, it continues on, and to whom is the arm of the Lord unveiled? Who's really going to see when the arm of the Lord is made bare on the cross? Who is really going to perceive in the spirit that this is God? For His visage is marred more than any man, His form more than the sun. Who is going to behold, this is my servant, this is my son, this is the Messiah that you've waited for? Who's going to see you when the Lord finally unveils and makes bare His holy arm, when He finally says, I'm going to show you, I'm going to take the veils off and just manifest who I am right before your eyes? And He takes His arm and just makes it bare so we can just see right into what it's going to look like when He manifests from His core who he really is, and he looks like a criminal, and he looks like somebody who's rejected, and he's a vile offscourging of the earth that no one would want to come near because he's a blasphemer and a criminal. Who hath believed our report, and to whom will this arm of the Lord be unveiled? There is no beauty that we would desire him when we see him. He has no comeliness. That's verse 53, verses of it, 1 and 2. Verse 3 of chapter 53. But he's despised. He's rejected. He's a man of sorrows. He's acquainted with grief. And we hid our face. We esteemed him not. If you could say it, verse 4, we did not understand that he was bearing our griefs, carrying our sorrows. We esteemed him smitten of God, stricken of God, afflicted of God, but he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. The Lord lays on him all of that iniquity, and he opens not his mouth. When you read that into terms of the spirit realm, sense realm, you realize that all of us go by our senses. We like sheep stray away from what the Spirit's trying to reveal. This is who I am. This is my name. This is my unveiled nature manifesting right in your midst. This is who I really am. But the Spirit has to make that real. He has to unveil that. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. None of our senses can comprehend the things that God wants to freely share with us about who he is. Only the Spirit can make that unveiling of who God really is real in us by the Spirit. The spirit realm is a locked and sealed realm to the natural senses. But even when we are the sheep of his pasture and we have been regenerated in our spirit and can know him by the Spirit, it says we like sheep, we go astray. And we many times lean to our own understandings and our own understanding of what's going on, and we miss him because of the senses, because of our own view, our own understanding, our own way of seeing things, our own perceptions based on the sense realm circumstances surrounding the crucifixion or the manifestation of the Lamb or the altar situation where he's flowing forth in his innermost being before our very eyes. We miss that. To whom shall this arm be revealed, Lord? Who will believe? And so it causes this thing in my heart personally. Lord, I don't want to miss you. I don't want to miss you. I don't want to walk right past you or walk right over you or call you the criminal when you're bearing my iniquity. I don't want to quickly judge you away by my own mind and view. I want to be so sensitized to not be quick to speak, but quick to hear what the Spirit is trying to share concerning who God really is and how that really is being made manifest in my life. You know, Mary of Bethany, we keep going back to her, she somehow was in tune with the man in the room who is coming to dine. He's not just a healer, he's not just a preacher or a teacher or a prophet. He is not even just the Son of God per se, or the Messiah we've awaited, though all those things be true. He's a lamb and he's fixing to go to slaughter, and I believe that this is who he is, and therefore I'm going to be in tune with his deep and eternal needs and anoint him for burial. I am going to perceive beyond the sense realm circumstance who I am dealing with, what he is about, and what's really happening in the Spirit. See, that only the Spirit of God can bring us into. But he can't bring me into it if I'm always going my own way. And my own way being my own understanding, my own view, however religious or deeper life or Christian it may be. If it's not the Spirit unveiling the Lamb, You know, it's just religion. It's just as carnal as whatever other views I might have that have nothing to do with a Christian view. It's just my view. Lord, I want to be broken in the sense where I am open and I am ready to hear what the Spirit wants to share and open to see, like that thief on the cross, that right there beside me, veiled in a slaughtered criminal, despised and rejected of men, there is a arm of the Lord being made bare. There is the manifestation of His name and His nature in a way that has yet ever been seen or released in this earth, right there. And I want to say, Lord, and I want to say, I see You. And I want to say, this isn't about what I'm going through. This is about what You're doing in me and through me or through this. You're releasing life out of death. You're on an altar. You are eternally giving of Yourself. And whatever it appears, I want to find You in it, and I want to join with You in it, and I want to leave myself behind, forgotten. If I'm doing great, if I'm doing wrong, if I'm having a good day, a bad day, a day where I'm bringing forth fruit, a day where it's just all flesh, or a day, whatever way, I want to forget about myself. And I want to set my affections on that crucified lamb next to me on that tree, you know, and I just want to become one with You. And I want to say, I am dead, and my life is hid with Christ in God, and I am setting my affections on this lamb, this one that is my life, and I am with Him. Today, in paradise, eaten from the tree of life, joining with His view, joining with His Spirit, joining with His reality, the spirit realm reality, the spirit realm view. I want to have lamb's eyes. I want to be from above. I want to be a part of Him in a real way, right down here in the dirty now and now, where all the circumstances are hidden in the earth, and it just looks crazy. Chaos, darkness. Who will believe? Who will perceive? Holy Spirit, You came so I wouldn't miss Him, so I would perceive and know Him, and more than that, join with Him and partake of Him and bear Him and know His name so much so that I'd be like one of those watchmen singing from the heights of the high places, "Behold the Lamb of God. We shall see eye to eye. Be comforted, O Zion. The Lord hath made bare His holy arm. He has brought us in. He has brought us in to oneness with His eternal nature. And we are joined and we are free from self. And we are liberated from the captivity of the earth and our senses and our old creation ways. We are one with this selfless, giving, beautiful Lord that's made us His body. We are one with the Lamb. Let us sing, let us shout, how beautiful are these feet that declare Christ crucified. May we just say, oh Lord, open my eyes that I might know the hope of my calling, the hope of this inheritance. Open my eyes by the Spirit to see Jesus, to behold the Lamb of God, to not miss Him today in my circumstances. Today, in the way I view the things that are happening in my life, you know, every one of us has stuff that's going on today in our soul, with the people we're in relationship with the human beings and the circumstances that God has us dealing with and a part of in the earth. And in every single one of those, we have the opportunity to behold the Lamb of God, and to turn from our soul and our sin and our cross that we deserve and our reactions that we feel and our views that we see and just say, I am dead to that creation. And I'm going to behold that Lamb who is now my life. And I'm going to marry that Lamb who is truly my life. And I'm going to be with His view and His Spirit. I'm not just going to see Him. I'm going to be with Him. I'm not just going to be with Him. I'm going to bear His life and let Him be a lamp unto my feet and the light of my lantern, the lamp of the whole city that is bride. No need for sun nor moon. He shall be the light therein. Hallelujah. You know, it's glorious when we read those verses at the end of the book of Revelation and the New Jerusalem, which is from above, and that holy city and the Lamb so beautifully within her. But that happens in the daily, crazy, chaotic, wild now and now. That's where that beautiful city lets him become her light, lets him become her fullness. It's when she chooses him, when she sees him, when she turns from her view in the sense realm and finds him by the Spirit and lets him become her light, lets the spirit realm reality, which is the Lamb, fill her, give her new eyes, his eyes, a new view, his view, a new way, his life. And, you know, so there's just, I believe, just a need in this particular study and heart meditation of the spirit realm versus the sense realm, that we have to approach these verses here, you know, with a great brokenness, a openness, a meditation. I think these are the kind of scriptures you want to ponder and pray over and, you know, break before and you cry out. And, you know, there's never a day or a moment where this heart turning towards the Lord from the sense realm to the spirit realm, from the earth to the heavens, from our view to the Lamb of God and his view and his unveiling as our life. You know, that's never not relevant. God has so graciously blessed us with hundreds of opportunities every day to take those verses and make them our own and make them really real. Make this relationship a real living union that overcomes the world, that overcomes the flesh, that overcomes the devil, and brings us into his image as one, as his bride. So Lord, we pray. We pray that you would be glorified as we continue to press past our views and the earth and the things that keep us in captivity to the sense realm, view of things, the soul that always wants to see it from what I think and how I'm hurt and what I believe I should get and what's right with that person and what's wrong with that situation. All those things that keep us captive, bound to the earth and the sense realm, to self and the old creation. Or we want to behold the Lamb of God. We want to see him in the daily situations you've put us in. I have not seen, ear hath not heard. You said, who shall believe our report? God, we want to believe. We want to behold. We want to know your name. We want to be with you today. And the things that feel like torment and hell in our lives, they will be like the very paradise of being with Jesus. It will be like a paradise because we'll be with you, Jesus. And it will be you. You in us and not our old soul and selfish nature constantly causing turmoil and conflict, unnecessary pain and anxiety, strife, envy, pushing and manipulating to get its soul fed and get its way. All those things, Lord, are crucified so that we can be with you today and join with you as bride and allow this to flow into us. The spirit realm reality, which is the Lamb of God, our life. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We ask you to break the bread of life with us by your Spirit. This would be more than just thoughts, but something that is a daily, daily bread for our hearts and our feet and our lives. And we pray this, Lord, because we love you. We pray it in the name of Jesus, who is our life.